Blog Talk Radio.
Well, to patient your fears, with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Ingrid Green Adams. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio Show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing three other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in New Orleans, worked as a criminal and civil private investigator for over 30 years. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. She's a member of First District Missionary Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary. She sits on the NAACP Executive Committee, also the SCLC Justice for Girls. She's a big supporter and loves standing in the gap for domestic violence victims and survivors, and eagerly wants to put an end to domestic violence by getting help for the abusers. Evangelist Norma Chapman's desires to reach out to many people that are living in this deadly environment. Ingrid, and Abba.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Facing Your Fears.
With your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Ingrid Green Adams.
Good evening. You are listening to Facing Your Fears, radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Our special guest today is Reverend Willie L. Calhoun. Yes, Reverend Willie L. Calhoun. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in on today's show. And I'm always excited to have you all listening in on Facing Your Fears. Let us close our eyes for a moment and begin this show with a prayer. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for another opportunity that you have given us, Father God, to go live on the radio, Father God, that we may reach out, Father God, and help someone, Father God, that's going through, Father God, that's in the need, Father God, of some encouragement, Father God. We thank you this evening, Father God, for letting us stand in the gap, Father God, for those people, Father God. Father God, as we go forth with the show on today, we pray, Father God, that every word that proceeds out of our mouths be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Father God. Oh, Father God, we pray that, Father God, at the end of the show, that you may get the victory. These blessings we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Good afternoon, Reverend Calhoun. Willie Calhoun, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Evangelist Chapman. Just glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you on today. And before we begin our show on today, I'm going to tell them the title of the show, and then I'm going to let you do a little short introduction about yourself, and then I'll come back and tell them a little bit about what we'll be discussing on today. Okay, you can go ahead, Reverend Calhoun, and tell the listeners a little about yourself.
Well, I'm Reverend Willie L. Calhoun, Jr. I've been a resident of the lower Ninth Ward of the city of New Orleans all of my life. Been active and involved in many, many endeavors. Retired from the Federal Aviation Administration after 32 years of service. Got involved with the school system after we saw what was going on after Katrina. Actually, we were involved with the system prior to. But we're looking at just being a part of what's going on in the city, making sure that we try to inform people as best and as much as we can about what's really happening here and how it's impacting and affecting our neighborhoods and our communities. So with that, that's about all I can say about Reverend Calhoun.
Thank you, Reverend Calhoun. And again, I want to thank all of my listeners for tuning in on today. Remember, you can join in on this conversation by pressing the number one on your phone if you have any comments or any questions. Reverend Calhoun and myself will be happy and we to answer any of your questions and maybe be able to go forward with any concerns that you may have out there on today. Yes, you are listening to Facing Your Fears, radio talk show hosted by Evangelist Norma Chapman. Today's topic is the successful failure of charter schools. Yes, the successful failure of charter schools. Today, we will be discussing how the charter schools are failing to teach our children, where they were, where they are now, and where they are headed. Are the charter schools teachers being held accountable for their credibility for not teaching our children in the capacity so they can learn instead of failing year after year? I want to thank all of my listeners again for tuning in. With that being said, I am going to turn the show over now and yield to our special guest, Reverend Willie L. Calhoun, which will be giving you some informative, important information on charter schools. Whether you're here in the city of New Orleans, if there are charter schools around the world, then you need to stay tuned in for this important episode. Reverend Calhoun.
Yes, ma'am. Just so everybody can be on the same page, the charter system here in New Orleans actually was put into law in 2003. As of June 2005, they had a total of 3 charter schools in the state of Louisiana. In November of 2005, after Katrina, we had a total of 87 schools that were in the charter school. The Recovery School District came in. The Recovery School District, and in different states, it's the same organization but by different names. They are usually an entity of the state school education system. And what they do is they define failing schools. To get the failing schools here in New Orleans, what they did was they raised the state score, which at that time an SPS score of 60 was passing out of 200. If you had a SPS, a school performance score of 60 or better, then you were not considered a failing school. In 2005, the legislature then raised the score from passing at a 60 to 87.5. So any school within the state of Louisiana that had a population of over 400,000, now remember, this is making it specific for New Orleans, that had a population of 400,000, then if their schools that our school system did not have a state score of 87.5, I believe, then they was considered failing and went under the Recovery School District. So although we had the Orleans elected body, which was Orleans Parish Schools Board, this entity that was created by the state, then came in and took over what they call failing schools. So that's kind of giving you a little history of how we got where we are. Now, this was directed by Ms. Jacobs. Leslie Jacobs was a school board member, Betsy board member, and she guided this process to get us to where we are. And they sold it as being the greatest gift God could provide for our children. A lot of people bought into it, but the reality of it was this was nothing but a ploy to take over our school system, to control the monies that the school system has, and what in actuality happened is it has decimated our school system, not only our school system, but our communities. What people don't realize, most of the times, your school system is part of the economic engine of your community. It's one of the entities that's in your community that generates money to people. Custodial workers and cafeteria workers, all those people usually came out the community that the schools were located in. As it stands today, we have no voice. We have no idea of how contracts are let. We have no understanding of who can go to a school anymore. We don't have any understanding about who's going to work at the school, the teachers, or we don't even have any input in terms of who's going to work on the school. So at this point in time that we've watched this system after 14 years really have destroyed what we used to know as community, economically as well as academically. We read a report that was done by the Clown Institute here for the last year, the 2017-2018 sessions. They are, I guess, currently working on the 18-19 session, but we saw some of the debacles that's happened. For people that may not know, New Orleans is the only city in the United States that has a completely charter school system. Now, again, they have deemed this or identified this as a public school system. But what it has actually done, it has taken away community schools. Whereas schools that were once in our community, they're no longer there. I don't know how many.
Let me ask you, Reverend Cowan, if I can come in a little bit on this. Now, can we share with our listeners on today, when they first started charter schools, and I'm more than sure that they have charter schools in the state of Mississippi, and I don't know about Texas, but I'm more
than
sure.
They have charter schools in every state.
In every
but
state.
But they are not
but
as
far,
well. I'm sorry.
What my question to you is, when they first started the charter schools here in our city, was the parents really informed fully, 100%, on how these charter schools operate?
No, they weren't.
They were not. So they,
no.
In other words,
no, there was legislation passed a long time ago that showed that this was an experiment, right? That the charter system was an experiment in our area. What I found has happened because the charter management system is spreading across states, right? But like here in Louisiana, the only places that you have charter schools is in black districts, right? New Orleans, Baton Rouge. You don't have charter management in St. Tammany Parish. You don't have it in St. Charles Parish. So you got to kind of figure out what's really going on. That if these charter management groups were so great and so good, why are they now just collectively being placed in black areas?
Yes.
Some feel
Let me
that.
Ask you something. Go ahead. You can finish. What my concerns are now, basically, because you know I had an opportunity to go with. I was in Baton Rouge with you and Representative, is that Bowie that were there?
Yes, Representative
Bowie. And there was a vote at the time, and at that time we were fighting to get rid of all of the charter schools. And I think one we lost in, I think it's not 91, one of them we won. But the ones that we won still did not get us where we needed to go, because what we're trying to express to the legislator is the fact that our children are actually more dumber now than what they were years of, years
actually,
ago.
Actually, the legislature have been complicit in making this happen, right? When you go back and you look, you're going to find out that they first came in, they created the Recovery School District. That was the vehicle that they used to make sure that they have a place once they said that these schools were failures to bring the schools. But it took a legislative act to get this done. After they did that, then they now have set up the legislature so that they can keep control of the schools, right? But in order to do that, they have to then decrease the power, take the power away from the elected body, the Orleans Parish School Board. Ms. Jacobs' intent, I believe, was to eliminate completely the Orleans Parish School Board. But by constitution, by state constitution, every parish must have a school board. But what they did, as you spoke to, said Act 91, when that legislation came in, Act 91 really took away the power of Orleans Parish School Board, all right? And when you start looking at what Act 91, if you go to page 6, section G, it begins to say before the Orleans Parish School Board can speak to 15 different issues that's in that legislation, that they first must get written consent from the Charter Management Group. Well, that renders that group now, our elected body, not to no more than an overseer. Just like with the incident we just had here at Kennedy School, they're not on in the front of anything. It's only after the fact that our school members come in. So it's kind of messed up that I'm going to hire you to work, but then I got to get your permission to tell you what you can and can't do. So we are losing in this. And if you look, I mean, they've done this in Chicago, they've done this in Philadelphia, they've done it in Detroit. And again, if you follow the pattern will show that they do this only in black neighborhoods. So you got to understand, this is way deeper than what we think, right? When you start looking at how they are taking the monies away from the schools, again, we have no voice in these monies anymore. Before Katrina, the Orleans Parish School Board budget was bigger than the city's budget. So now when you start looking at what has happened and what's really going on, we have lost economically. We have lost our communities. And if anybody is really paying attention, the crime problem amongst our young people is spiking. So if you look at what's happening, that we got a lot of kids that's coming out of school now that can't read or write
because of the standards. You are still listening to Facing Your Fears with your host Evangelist Norma Chapman. Today's topic is the successful failure of charter schools. And our special guest today in the studio with me, we have the Reverend Willie L. Calhoun, and we are discussing the failure of charter schools, how important it is for our citizens to realize what danger our children are in by these charter schools being in control. And he's discussing the certain issues of the background history with the city, with the school board of New Orleans compared to charter schools. And before you continue that thought, Reverend Calhoun, let me ask you that I don't know about other cities, but here in New Orleans, what made me interested in working with you and fighting charter schools for their closure and to be put back into our system, New Orleans school board system. The children have to get up early in the morning, and they in the wintertime it's still pitch dark outside. They have to get ready and go stand on a corner and wait for the school bus. Now, then after school, They ride them all around the whole city of New Orleans before they brought back to the area where they live. Versus when the school system was in the New Orleans School Board hands, they had a bus for that particular route. The children didn't have to ride all over the city, uptown, back of town, and everywhere else before bringing them back home. They'll ride back home around 6:30. Some of them don't be getting off the bus until 7 o'clock. Now, mind you, these kids have to what? Go to school, come home, eat, study for the, and they don't have any school books. We will talk about that later on in the conversation. Study if they have any material to study with, in which they don't, and then get a bath, go to bed. By the time they do that, so they get home around 7 o'clock. Around 9:30, if they're not in bed, then they what? They have lost sleep, right? So
right.
Can you share with our listeners on today, is that, do you think that's damaging to our children's brains and how
they actually had a study,
their learning skills?
Yeah, they actually had a study done to show that that it was detrimental to children to get up early, go catch a stand out, wait for a bus, and then spend most of their day, most of their mornings getting to and from school. So when you put a preschooler who may be excited about going to school that day and you tire them out, they leave in their house somewhere around 6 o'clock in the morning, then they're coming back home somewhere around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. You're putting an extra burden, an extra strain on them, right? So what we've watched in the last 14 years is how this is really has impacted not our children, our parents, our community. You don't see kids coming home anymore and playing out in the yard as you did when you grew up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We had schools within a six-block, generally in a six-block radius of our home. So most kids were able to walk to school, right? Well, because of what has happened, and if you live within a school, you may not be able to get into that school. See, what has happened here, one of the biggest issues when you speak to transportation, that busing impact financially on the school itself. The charter management groups has to pay for transportation to their schools, right? So I'm familiar with Martin Luther King. Their budget for busing is over $1 million. That money actually comes directly out the classroom. So one of the impacts of the school system that charter managements have on the school system here, that you no longer can go to the school in the area which you live, which puts in another burden to the family. I am aware of some families that have kids same age level, you know, that's going to different schools. So how does that parent, and each, and one of the things in Act 91 that cannot be discussed, but that the schools have complete autonomy over, is the calendar. Whereas when I went to school, all schools had certain days, certain times, certain periods that they were off. Right, we all got 2 weeks for Christmas holidays, from the 19th to the 5th of January or something. Well, now the way each management group, and this is a problem because parents can now no longer schedule times. If you got a kid at one school and a kid at another school, and they're scheduling parent conference night on the same night, how do a parent split themselves up to go to each one of both of those schools? If a child misses the bus, how do they get to school? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of problems that prior to Katrina were not here, that are here now.
Right, when because we look also, with my grandchildren, if a child gets sick at school, and the schools were open near the neighborhood, and they were like going maybe a couple of blocks from where they live, you can get there to get your child or go see about your child. But if you live in East New Orleans and they place your child in another school, say what, 20 blocks or 30 blocks away, that becomes another problem if a parent do not have transportation to get to the school to pick up their child, or if an emergency would occur at school and where they need the parents to come. Another thing, when he was talking about the time that we spent out of school versus the time that we were in school, this year I'm noticing that the kids do not have their full summer vacation. They only, but school was out, what, in the latter part of May, and some the 1st of June. Now they have to return back the first week in August. So the kids are not getting their full summer vacation.
It depends on the school or not, Norma. It depends on the school.
I've talked to several parents, and most of the schools, they're saying their children have to return back August the 6th.
Right. And what I'm finding, and I know one school is going to return August the 13th, right?
Okay.
So what you're looking at is, because there's no control calendar for all schools that be on the same calendar, everybody's doing what they want to do, right? So
exactly.
You got to start wondering that if you're going to make the rules of who's going to go or who's what time and where kids are going to go to school, then somebody's going to get impacted in a very negative way. See, like you're saying, at one time, we all were out for summer vacation at the same time. We went back to school at the same time. That's no longer happening in the city of New Orleans. So we gotta understand what's really happened, what's really going on. They have, again, to take over the schools, they raised the score and said any school that had a school performance score of 87, it's been 14 years, we cannot identify one school that they have raised to that level. The Recovery School District did such a poor job that they got out of the academics of dealing with the academics of the school. All schools are under the governance right now of Orleans Parish School Board. However, Orleans Parish School Board is still limited in what it can address for the school. And that's what becomes problematic, because now we still don't have the voice in the school that we need to have. We cannot go right now. Representative Bowie and I, there was an incident at George Washington Carver Senior High School. We went there at the request of a parent and was not allowed to get into that school, right? Now, he's an elected representative and was stopped. I looked at what happened with Kennedy here, this year, where you had a number of kids were not able to participate or to graduate, right? So when you go back, but I can go back to 2012, 2013, when kids were taking or were passing courses that they never took. It's interesting to me that none of that was ever brought out as to what was happening there. It seems as if there are some charter management groups, because most of the charter management groups here now are expanding to Baton Rouge, to Mississippi, all over. So when you start, and again, we're coming back to accountability. Who do we hold accountable for the failure of our schools? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened at Kennedy, they said that this person got fired, that person got fired, but who will be held accountable? When John Mack was a high school, they came in and they did a television series there called Blackboard Wars. You tell me to this day, where did that money go? Who did that money go to? We have not seen any type of an investigation going there. It seems that if I can start a charter management group, if I'm connected well enough, I start a charter management group, and even after I fail, there's no accountability to the people, to the students, to the community at all for what did happen to them. That, to me, my sister, is problematic. You telling me you helped my child or you made my child fail, and then I have no recourse, I have nothing to go back, or you're not held accountable in any type of way for your failure. You pack up, you take your little thing and go to another city, go to another state, and open up another charter. And I just don't understand that.
Right. You are still listening to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. And remember, callers, you can tune in on the conversation on today by pressing the number 1 on your phone. If you have any questions or any comments on today's topic, which is the successful failure of charter schools, with our special guest today, Reverend Willie L. Calhoun. And we are discussing some informative, important information that parents, grandparents should know and guardians should know in reference to their children attending charter schools. Reverend Calhoun, I had an incident at the charter school up on Jackson Avenue, with Scientech charter school. And this child was in the first grade and to go to the second grade, and the teacher there was failing her. Well, myself and others had went up to the school to find out exactly what was going on and why you would fail a first grader. And the teacher told us that they expect their kids to have a 4.0 average. Now, we're talking about a child that has not been taught second grade material coming out of first grade. You expect her to come in the second grade with a 4.0 average, which meaning that they expect for your children to be smart. If they're not smart when they begin school, then they're going to fail them. Now, after they go to school, are the teachers teaching them in the capacity in which they could learn? I find that they're not. I find that our children's grades have failed tremendously, and they are, when we were in school, again, and years ago when my children were in school, they sent them home with material, books, and whatever English book, math book, or spelling book. And we had to, if you remember, Reverend Calhoun, we had book sacks. And the little book sacks today that they're carrying, they don't even need a backpack, whatever they call it, because they have nothing in there but papers. But we had to bring books home. And with these books, the parents was able to aid their children with what and help them with their classwork or homework. Can you share with our listeners on today your thoughts in reference to that?
You done said a whole lot, so I don't know what one you want to deal with. Let me go first with the failure. School performance scores are determined by the test taking, right? It's part of that, what makes up the school. So they don't want kids that's not up, that can't get up to average. Several times over these 14 years, they have adjusted the parameters to make a school pass or failing, right? I mean, at one point here, a kid could make a 45, I think it was, 46 on a test, and still that was considered passing. So what they did, lower the standard to try to make it seem like that the system, this thing was working, right? I've read here where Patrick Dobart, who used to be the superintendent of the recovery school district, said that, oh, everything is working fine. I mean, and this was recent. This has been in this year. And how well things are working. Well, it's working for who? When you tell me that the charter management group, they want the highest score they can get. If I got a kid that's not making a certain grade, he's going to pull the scores down, right? Mm-hmm. So my thing is I got to get rid of that kid. I don't want that kid there. They need the kids for the first count, which is in October. And once they get the kid for the first count, that's it. I've spoken with teachers. I've spoken with principals. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You hear me? I'm here.
Yeah.
You're still live, Reverend Calhoun.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? You are still live. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but what happened is, I'm getting echo now. But what happened is, does this sound any better?
Yeah, you're still live. I can hear you clearly in the studio.
All right. Well, anyway, what has happened is our children now are I don't want to say being passed over, because they're not passing them over. They're passing them out. They're pushing them out of these systems, right? So when you look at what's really going on with our children, where things really are, our children, let me just give you a couple of stats, right? It's problematic for our children to go further now, because they are being marginalized to a point. If you're coming in at the first grade level and you don't have a certain level, they're going to hold you back. All right? Now, you tell me. There are standards that set for the first grade that the child should come in. But we've already know that all children that's coming in at pre-K and kindergarten may not have had the same – hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Is there a problem?
Yeah, I can hear you well. I just – you know, you were silent for so long. I just wanted to make sure.
No, because I'm waiting for you to finish before I, you know.
Yeah,
so
but what they're doing, they're placing our children in such a bad place that again, you got them there when they're tired. You got them there, and if they're tired, they may misbehave. Discipline is another factor that's being used to hold children back. So even though a child may be a 4.0, if he's not a disciplined child, you got to understand that's subjective. They determine when they have violated. Then that puts our children in another light. So when you start looking at what's happening and what's really going on, it then becomes a real problem.
Okay, you're still listening to Facing Your Fears radio talk show by your host evangelist Norma Chapman. Again, listeners, you can tune in on today's topic and share your comments and your questions by pressing the number one on your phone. And in a little while, I'll be opening up the lines to the callers to share their comments and questions, if there may be any. And we'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have, and be happy to hear your comments or your concerns in reference to the charter school. Brother Calhoun, let me ask you, because very shortly I'll be opening up the lines. As of now, we have a lot of callers that are listening in on today, and I want to thank you for listening in on today. But as of now, we have no one that has pressed the number one, which indicates to me we have no one out there that have a question or a comment at this time. And we're going to just continue on our subject on today. I find another problem with charter schools. the problem, another problem that I have with charter schools is that their rule is, say, you know, back to school, right? Everybody's excited for the first day of school, and we go out and we buy our children school materials that they can have for them to use in the class, as well as when they come home, they can have this material to do their homework with or do a project that they have been asked to do. But when you buy your children supplies now and they get to school with it, they take it from the children, they put it in one big basket. And they, the teacher takes and she issues it out to everybody in the class. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we were mentioning about the budgets at the schools, right? Mm-hmm. What do they exactly buy for the children at the schools? I mean, they have computers, I understand. But what about textbooks? Will they actually use textbooks anymore in the classroom? Can you give us some information on that, Reverend Jones?
No, textbooks, you really got to realize the cost of textbooks is very expensive, right? So it's easier to go to and you got to understand that we don't have educators in the classroom anymore. We have people that's coming in that's going into the system. At one time, to be recognized, you had to be a certified teacher in the state of Louisiana. Well, that certification has gone away now. I can have a degree in poo-pooism, right, and teach chemistry. So I don't have to understand, and it's part of the problem. You don't have people that really are educators that were trained to be educators, so they don't know what to do, right? I'm looking for as it stands right now, the average. Let me see. The average educator. I want to get to a particular stat that at one time the average level of teacher education we had was like 20 something years. Right now, the average educator overall, we have maybe 5 years of really people that really know what they're doing. So the decrease that we've had, all right, between 2011 and 2017, the number of people with bachelor degrees in education who are in teaching certificate statewide fell by 8%. Among those who earn credentials, more than 80% obtain certificate in physical education, elementary education, and pre-kindergarten. For the past 3 years, fewer than 20% of teachers gain certification in other academic areas. So what it's saying is we are seeing the fall of real teachers. And we have people that are standing in there that have no understanding of what they're doing. All right?
Reverend Calhoun, we're getting getting late in the show, and in a little while I'll be opening up the lines to our callers to make sure they don't have any, make sure that their questions are answered and their comments, and we can be able to they can be able to share their comments with us as well. But I have two more questions for you real quickly. My next question is a crime that we have in the schools. And I'm more than sure if you're not just here in the state of Louisiana, but everywhere in the United States somewhere, they have a lot of crime going on. We're talking about crime within, elementary schools, right, where students have been shot, kids have brought guns to school, and you find a lot of murders and killing and shootings going on in the school. And I was reading an article where this teacher actually broke the student's jaw. Now, this wasn't in the city of New Orleans, I think it was somewhere in Georgia somewhere. I don't have it in front of me, but I don't want to put out some information that's not accurate. But they actually broke this student's jaw, and I think this was an elementary student we're talking about, and they claimed it was a mistake. I didn't mean to break the jaw. And, you know, all things, sorts of things are happening now, and that was a charter school that this incident happened. All manner of evil are attacking our schools. So what, to move forward, because we only have a couple of minutes before closing, before the show be coming to an end, what exactly can you share with our listeners, how important it is for our citizens to get involved with knowing what's actually going on with their children in reference to charter schools? Now, you've shared some important, informative information today with us, but can you just elaborate a little bit and emphasize a little bit on how important that parents should get involved and get connected with
parents,
their child reference to charter schools?
I think that regardless if it's charter or any school, parents need to go to the school to find out what's going on. We are living in a time now where, you know, you just can't trust everybody. We've seen some horrific things happen in the media that the media has brought to our attention about how our children are being treated. As a matter of fact, if you look at the stats, it's saying that our little girls now are being disciplined more than other children. Our little boys were at first a target for discipline. Now our little girls. So you got to understand that if we constantly keep going, you're not changing their behavior. Only thing you're doing now is punishing them more, which can make them more hardened, okay? So my suggestion to everyone, find out what's good. Go to your school. Find out what's going to be in the charter or public schools, right? Private, whatever school. Make sure your child is not being abused. And you need to listen to your children. If your children, another part of this thing is lunches. We're finding that children are being deprived of lunches, where this might have been the only meal they would get a day. But you got to find out exactly what's really going on, because I'm going to say to you again, we are being locked out of our school systems. The charter management group has been very successful to keep us out of the business of the school. And unless you got I don't want to label all charter schools as being the baddest and the worst. I think that we got to understand what this is really doing to us in terms of our community, in terms of our economy. You have to become more active. People need to become more aware of what this school system is bringing into your community. Teachers are not educated. They're coming in now to take over a school, and they don't know what they're teaching themselves. You reference the books. What it is now, I'll go to the internet. I'll pull up some piece on fractions, go there and print it out, and go hand it out to the children, and that's their worksheet. You don't need a book, because we're gonna tell them. Now, if you go to sit in that classroom and then watch and see if that teacher can actually understand the concepts they're teaching, you may be a bit surprised to find out that teacher don't really understand what they're doing either, or what they're talking about.
You listen to Faith in Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by Evangelist Norma Chapman, and the evening is far being spent, and we'll be closing the show in a little while. But before we close, I want to ask Reverend Calhoun to share with us his thoughts and his comments on the dress code that they require our children to wear uniforms, that they all have to be in, every school has their own uniform with their logo on it. But what about the teachers that are teaching the children? Do you find that their dress code is in order for them to be qualified to be to teach our children?
Well, I went to school to Carver 1 year, and they actually had a teacher running around with a yellow tutu on. When I tried to inquire about why this gentleman was, running around the school with a tutu on, I've never really gotten a satisfactory answer except to say for what I heard was that this is his weight. So in one point you're saying that I got to be real restrictive on the dress code for the children, but I don't have to be as restrictive on the dress code on what the teachers are wearing. Because if
and
you
I
notice, the teachers do come to school any dressed any kind of way.
Right. And that's a lot of our children's problem with having respect for the person that's over the classroom. Now, you know, if you come into school looking like I'm not going to put any name or label on it, but the listeners out there can imagine what I'm talking about. How do you expect for a student to have respect for you if you got a skirt almost up to your
No, no,
over,
it's
a,
oh, yeah,
over,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
Well, yeah,
and
some
then,
things
so,
are very provocative.
This student is in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th, 12th grade. You know, these kids these days, they're growing faster, and they feel that they, with some, not all people, because some children are still very respectful. But we talk about children that's already out of order, right? And their parents
right.
trying to get them in order. And then they leave home, and they put them in the care of our school system, our charter school. And then their teachers there are looking like somebody they just picked up off a garbage street here in New Orleans or whatever. Or their hair is all tacky, like they've been up all night long or just getting over a hangover, whatever. How do you expect for that student to have respect for you and for you to have control in your classroom? With that being said, because, like I said, we're getting ready to close the show in a little while. With that being said, not only the dress codes are a problem. The other problem that I thought I was very successful to have the principal fired as well as the school teacher as well as the social worker. Because when I went up to the school, I'm not going to name this school, okay, because it's probably, I don't know whether it's still going on or whatever, but the issue was handled. But I want to just explain to the listeners some of the stuff that I experienced with charter school. They actually had their students writing tattoos on their skin, on their forehead, on their neck. Now, here we are trying to train our kids to get away from writing on their skin. First of all, it's not godly. It's not of God to write to mark your skin and stuff like that, right? And here they is, they are training the kids to put tattoos on their arm, and not only did they let them do it, they posted on the wall of the school. That's how I knew that it was going on. Okay, I confronted that issue. The second issue that I fought was I had a round the table discussion with the administrator, the CEO, the administrator, the principal, the social worker. We had a round the table discussion of reference to the school and how they respect the parents. When the parents come in to ask them a question, they were very rude to Reverend Smith, his wife, and I. And for you to be rude to a minister of Reverend Lewis Smith Sanders, we knew something had to be wrong. And then we're talking about this person who was rude to him and out of order are the ones who was over behavior in the school. I attacked that. We were successful with that. But I was thirsty on that day. I think Reverend Calhoun had shared the story with you once before. And I asked for some water. They brought the bottle of water back. When I opened it, I drank. I said, this is not no water. This is vodka. The vodka. It came out of their refrigerator. And I don't know whether this. And they said, well, a student must have made a mistake and put it in the refrigerator. But no, I don't think the student put it there. It's just that somebody, one of the school teachers or one of the administrators, were actually drinking on, during the class hours. The
right.
CEO couldn't believe it was vodka, so he got a spoon and he pulled it and said, it is vodka. I said, yes, it is. Now, this happened, two, three, four, five, it's about 4 years ago. So I actually fought the situation, and I was successful with having some of the principal, the social worker, and the instructor. They were all fired. But it brings, it makes one think, what is it, what other school this is taking place at? I mean, these things are happening. What other cities are stake that they may be having the same issues? I don't know, but I do know that it's important, listeners, that we get connected with knowing what's going on with our children. Go and ask questions. Now, you may not get the information directly from the charter school, which is why I'm going to yield and let Reverend Calhoun maybe give our listeners some information on the next meeting they may be having in reference to charter school, where you can attend and have.
Well, that's something everybody should know. If their child is in a charter school, you need to know when they have their monthly meeting, and we need to attend. Now, I've attended some meetings that started that was listed to start at 5 o'clock, and then at 5:10 it was over with. So you need to just try to pay attention to what's really going on and really listen at your children. And when they're telling you something is wrong at the school, we really need to pay attention to that. So
thank you, Reverend Calhoun. And
yeah,
I have a lot of listeners on today, but I have no one that have given me, have pressed the number one on their phone, which indicates to me they have no question for us or they
right.
do not wish to share any comments. So I would like to thank my listeners for tuning in on today's show.
Right.
And I would like a special guest, Reverend Willie L. Calhoun, for being my special guest on Facing Your Fears on today. We were discussing our topic today was the successful failure of charter schools. And our special guest shared some very informative, important information. Listeners, that if I were you, I would have had a pen and paper. If we have a child that's still attending school, or if your children are grown, you have grandchildren, nieces, and nephews that are in school, and we are all as citizens in our community. If we have nobody in school, we should still be concerned about our children and our community. As a child of God, there's much, much work to be done, not only in the churches, but outside of the churches as well. God has work for us to do in reference to teaching our children the godly way that God would want them to come up and what to be the men and women that he's calling for in the last days. And I'm going to yield again and let Reverend Calhoun, I think we got about 3 minutes, Reverend Calhoun, before the ending of the show. Is there? I want you to share some information if they want to contact you after the show, how they can contact you, and then I'll give my information on myself after you.
Well, I can be contacted at 504-606-2603. That's 504, and that's Reverend Willie L. Calhoun, Jr. So, if anybody want to speak any further on these issues, then I'm free to feel free to give me a call. All right, I gotta go now, but I thank you for the time you allowed me to have to speak. So, Evangelist Chapman, you have a good day, and to your audience, again, I do say thank y'all for taking the time to listen to Reverend Willie L. Calhoun. All right, let me
thank
go.
Thank you very much, you. Reverend Calhoun. At this time, we're going to do our closing prayer, listeners. And again, I want to thank all of my listeners for tuning in on today's show, Facing Your Fears, with your host, yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Remember to tune in every Thursday at 4:30 to 5:30, where we will have another special guest with a brand new topic. Also, you can contact me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com or call me at area code 504-333-9550, or you can go to my website, faithwhat.com, or you can also visit me on Facebook on the What Faith Can Do, the page that's the title of my book. I'm the author of What Faith Can Do, or you can simply just go to my personal page. and you will be able to pull Norma Chapman up. Thank you again for listening today, listeners, and I pray that the Lord will bless and keep you. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for today's show, Father God, and we pray, Father God, that, Father God, someone, Father God, was out there, Father God, that had a problem, or Father God needed to hear what we were talking about on today. We pray that we share some information that may help our community, our family, and also ourselves as we go day by day. And as we join in 2 and 4, we ask that you continue to bless every listener that will tune in on today. Listeners, I'll see you again next week, the same time, right here at Faith in Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by evangelist Norma Chapman. Goodbye to everyone.